All right, back in the book of Acts, and I gave Jim the passage to read, and I actually kind of backed up a little bit to verse 17 as I was studying. It says, "And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord even Jesus that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest hath sent me, that thou mayest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost." I thought it was interesting that he's already calling him Brother Saul. He already sees him as a Christian at this point. Saul has already been converted. He wasn't going, Ananias wasn't there going to convert him. Saul's been converted. He calls him Brother Saul at this point. But Jesus appeared to thee unto thee in the way as thou camest, has sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight. So he's there for him to receive his sight. So it's him laying his hands on him where he receives his sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, I think that is interesting as well, because Saul is already a believer at this time. And sometimes we might read that and think he's going to receive the Holy Ghost at this point. He's not receiving the Holy Ghost at this time. He's being filled with the Holy Ghost at this time. And there's a difference between receiving the Holy Ghost and being filled with the Holy Ghost. The filling of the Holy Spirit is for power and for ministry. King David received that when he became king. He received God's Holy Spirit for power. Now, all Christians are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. As soon as we're saved, we are indwelt with the Holy Spirit. We become part of the body of Christ. We're baptized into one Spirit. But I believe that this filling is God's power on his life, God's Holy Spirit power on his life for the ministry that he's calling him to do, to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I believe that all of us can be filled with the Holy Spirit, but often many Christians are not. We can be filled, but often we're not. I believe that we are filled with the Holy Spirit when we are so surrendered to God and so obedient to God that he fills us for power, for ministry. I wonder what would happen if in our country today, if we had people, churches, filled with filled people. Think about that. What would happen in our ministries or even in our church if we had a church filled with filled people? Not indwelt people. If you're saved, you are already indwelt. But people who are obedient, who are following Christ, who are surrendered, and just waking up every day saying, God, what would you have me to do? I want to be obedient to you today. I'm going to start in your word. I'm going to start in prayer. And I just want to do your will today, Lord. Let me ask you a question. Do you ever wake up and say, today, Lord, what do you have me to do? I want to be obedient to you throughout the day. Maybe have you ever even said that at any time in your life? Hopefully, if you're a believer, there's been some time in your life where you said, Lord, I just want to be obedient. I want to be filled with your Spirit. I want to follow you. I want to live a life pleasing in your sight. I think we've lost that passion often to just want to do God's will, to want to be filled with his Spirit, to want to live daily with him being the propulsion behind our life. Paul is filled with the Holy Spirit here. And I notice, and immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales. So he receives his sight. So immediately he lays his hands on him and he's back to seeing. What a happy day. I mean, if you'd lost your sight and you're back to seeing, that would be very exciting. What's the first thing you're going to do? What's the first thing you're going to do? Remember, he hasn't eaten anything for 3 days and 3 nights. What's the first thing you're going to do if you hadn't eaten? Jeff, what's the first thing you're going to do if you hadn't? I've seen Jeff eat. Jeff can eat. You know, guys, what they did up there is they had this guy come in, and he's there 24 hours beforehand, and he's just running the smoker. And they're smoking these ribs. Our first meal were these racks of ribs. And these aren't the ribs you get in a restaurant. These are ribs where you got to go through about this much meat before you ever find the ribs. I think Jeff said they're some of the nicest ribs he's ever had. Noah, maybe it was Noah that said that. I get confused. I don't remember who said it. Somebody said it was some of the best ribs he ever had. I mean, they are just full of meat. Then the next, they get that out of there and you eat that, and then they put brisket in. And then they smoke brisket for the next 24 hours, and that's your lunch meal. I mean, if that doesn't make you hungry, you know, some of you are like, get over it. The sermon should be done now. We want to go eat. But Saul hadn't eaten for 3 days, 3 nights. When you're hungry and you haven't eaten for 3 days and 3 nights, what are you going to do? You're going to go get something to eat. What did Paul do? And he arose and was baptized. See, when you're filled with the Spirit, spiritual things become more important than physical things. When you're filled with the Spirit, spiritual things become more important than physical things. He's immediately baptized. I'd be like, 3 days and 3 nights, my stomach's growling, guys. The baptism can wait. The baptism can wait. But no, Paul says, he just arises and says, hey, I want to be baptized. I want to be obedient. The first thing I want in my life is to be obedient in baptism. I think it's the first step of obedience after you're saved is to be baptized. And Saul at this point is just like, let's go be baptized. I don't know how close the water was. I don't know where they were walking to get to be baptized. But that was his first thought, was the spiritual. And it says in verse 19, when he received meat, he was strengthened. Then he was certain days with the disciples and that were at Damascus. Then he has a meal. He thinks of the spiritual first, and then he takes care of the physical needs. How often do we get it turned around in our lives? How often are we more worried about the physical than the spiritual? I think we're often there. We care more about our physical needs than we do about our spiritual needs. You know, both Noah and I were prepared for our spiritual needs. I mean, our physical needs. Noah likes jerky. Noah had a couple of big bags of jerky. He even shared them with me. But you know what? We were ready in the car. I had cookies. Noah had jerky. I had cookies. And we were ready. We came prepared. We were like, we're going to get hungry on the drive. And so we're planning ahead to make sure that all of our physical needs are taken care of. I mean, we can't even, it's a 5-hour drive at the most. And we can't make a 5-hour drive without a big bag of physical appetite suppressors. Right? I mean, how many of you go on a 5-hour drive and you don't take any food or don't plan on stopping? Oh, some of you are good. But if you're going to camp, you got to take extra food because you're going to be in your room and you're going to be hungry after that big meal. Noah even ate some food after the big meal. You know, I think. I think he had a piece of jerky. He knows he's going to get picked on. He knows if he goes, he's going to get picked on for at least one service. And he still went because he got it last year. But we plan ahead for all of our physical needs, but how often do we take such planning for our spiritual needs? You know, if we don't have our 3 meals a day, not all of you, but most of us, if we don't have our 3 meals a day, we kind of get grumpy. Where's my next meal? I want that meal. But how often does the Word of God get that type of emphasis in our lives. How often do we think, oh, I got to plan ahead to make sure that on my lunch break I have something with me so I can get a little dose of Scripture on my lunch break. Maybe, you know, I used to get my Bible out and read it on my breaks, and part of that was so I could get more Bible time in, but part of it was people would ask me questions. What are you reading? I'm reading my Bible. What are you reading in your Bible? And then I would tell them what I'm reading in my Bible. Sometimes people are actually curious. What does it have to say? It's planning ahead for these spiritual food, planning ahead for spiritual diet. We get it turned around. In what ways do we put the physical in front of the spiritual? What ways do we put the physical in front of the spiritual? What might that look like in our lives, to put the physical in front of the spiritual? Well, we might be more interested in sleep than getting up in time to do our quiet time in the morning. Well, I got to bed late last night, and I don't have time to get up early enough to read my Bible before I go to work. So, and what does that say? The physical is more important than the spiritual. If you stayed up too late, what does that say? Staying up late to do whatever I wanted to do is more important than getting to bed early enough so that I can do my reading. Some people say, I couldn't stay awake in church because I stayed up too late last night. What's that say? Whatever I was doing is more important than getting the sleep I need to be awake at church. That's really what it says. Whatever I'm doing at night is more important. Now, if you have a newborn baby, we understand. No newborn babies out here. You know, we understand those types of situations, that those types of things happen. Sometimes you might have to work a night shift. We understand that. But often our choices for physical pleasures, whatever that might be, eating or just staying up late or doing what we want to do, outweigh our desire for spiritual fulfillment. We're too tired to go to church or to Sunday school. We'd rather sleep in. It's more important to sleep in than it is to get to church on time even. Have you ever said, I've got a headache, I can't go to church today? Now I realize there's headaches and then there are headaches. But does it just a headache stop you from going to church? I'm not trying to say if you're sick. Sometimes people are sick and they shouldn't be at church. But sometimes I know how easy it is to say, I've got a headache, I'd really rather not do that right now. Putting the physical in front of the spiritual needs. How about on Wednesday night? Have you ever just said, I'm just too tired to go on Wednesday night because I had to work all day? And you might say, pastors don't know what it feels like. I know Jim was here last week and he's in his work clothes. That's great. I mean, if you just get out of work and you come and you're in your work clothes, I'd much rather have you do that than not come to church. I work this job, and I'm not saying this to brag. I'm just saying this was our commitment in our family. When I was between Bible college and going into ministry, I worked a job in Grand Rapids, Michigan. We lived about a half hour, well, more than that away, about 45 minutes away. And the job started a lot of times at 4 o'clock. 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, or 4 o'clock in the morning. So I would have to get up most times at 2:30 to get into work. And we'd work 10 to 12 hours a day. I'd get home. Do I want to go to church that night? Because I have to get back up at, and our church was a half hour the other way. Did I want to go to church? No, I was tired. I'd worked 10 to 12 hours that day. I'd driven 40 minutes that way and 40 minutes back. Even on a normal work day, we never worked less than 10, so even on a normal work day, I'm gone 12 hours. We didn't miss church because I was tired. I don't think we ever missed church because I was tired. We just went to Wednesday night church. It was just a priority. You know, what's going to happen is your kids and your family is going to see what your priority is. If you're continually saying at night, I'm too tired to go to Wednesday night because I did this, your family's going to see it. And they're going to say, whatever excuse is okay not to go to church. It's okay with Dad if I don't go to church because of this, because I'm tired. Well, any excuse that I make is okay because there's what excuse is any different than being tired? Not much. We can always find those excuses to say, to put this physical in front of the spiritual. And it's going to affect your children's lives. The decisions you make today are going to direct their future. If your choices are predominantly based upon physical needs, that's what your children will do. That's what your family will do. That's what your future will hold. Thankfully, we see Paul making those right choices. So he receives meat. He's strengthened, verse 19. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus. And straightway, he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he was the Son of God. So he not only, we see his more worried about the spiritual right away. He's preaching Christ in the synagogues. What had he gone there to do? He'd gone there to capture Christians in the synagogues and drag them away. Then immediately he goes right to those synagogues, which those synagogues would have known why he had come. In fact, read verse 21. But all that heard him were amazed and said, isn't this not he that destroyed them which called on this name in Jerusalem and came hither for this, for that intent, that he might bring them bound unto the chief priests? They all knew it, and it's like, what's going on? What's going on in Saul's life? He's completely changed. He's a completely different guy. He'd come here to arrest these people, and now he's preaching the same thing they were preaching. See, when you put God first and you start focusing on spiritual things instead of physical things, people notice a difference in your life. You know why most people, you can live in the community and most people probably don't even know you're a Christian? Because there's never really been a change. I'm not saying that's for everybody, but there are people here that live in the community and for the most part, people don't even know you're a Christian. Or they know you're a Christian, but you're not really much different than them. You're really not much different than them. But these people saw a great change in his life, and they're like amazed. I wonder what would happen if people were saved today and it made such a difference in the life that they went out and people were amazed at the change that had taken place in their life. Because they were preaching Christ now. See, before they're saved, they were doing other things. They were doing things that weren't like a Christian. Now they're saved, and they're not only not doing those things anymore, now they are preaching Christ. And people are amazed. What a change in Saul's life. And notice in verse 22, but Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. I don't think this is Saul started eating more ribs and brisket and started getting stronger. He wasn't working out physically. He was working out spiritually. He is increasing in strength in the wisdom of the Word of God. Saul already knew the Word of God inside and out. But it took him a little while to start applying that in a different way. It took him a while to grow to the point where he started growing, where he started seeing, started clicking. We talked about this in Sunday school. He was reading through the Word of God, and it was just like, oh, wow, I never saw that before. I see now, he's like, I think he's reading through, and he's like, oh, that's Jesus Christ that's talking about. And because he understood the Word and he started applying it right, he came to the point where it's like he was confounding everybody he talked to. In other words, they couldn't withstand his wisdom. Who else was like that? Christ, but Stephen, remember? Stephen, he was the same way. They couldn't withstand his wisdom. And that's gonna come back up here as we go on. So, and after many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to kill him. So, you know what? When people can't withstand your wisdom and the wisdom of the Word, they just get angry. They want to lash out. That's what happens. They wanted to lash out. They wanted to kill him. But they're saying their laying in wait was known of Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. So they've made a plan. They're going to kill him. Then the disciples took him by night and led him down by the wall in a basket. You know, there are times to stand and fight, and there's times to just say, it's time to leave. It's time to leave. I've done all I can do here, and they're going to kill me if I stay. There was times when Saul stayed, there's times he stayed and he took a beating. And he was stoned, and he stayed till that point. But here it's like, no, it's time to go. There's times in the ministry where it's time to go. And he gets let down in a basket out of a window in the wall. And he gets out of there. And notice verse 26, it says, and when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. Now, I don't have time to go into it, but this is 3 years later. 3 years has passed. And now Saul is going to Jerusalem, and they still don't believe that he's a disciple. From the time he's saved, I was going to go into all this, but I just didn't get into it. But from the time he's saved to this point, it's 3 years. And the disciples in Jerusalem are still saying, we don't want anything to do with him. You know, there's times in ministry when you're going to be misunderstood. Saul had a desire to go and work with these other Christians, but they didn't want anything to do with him. He was completely misunderstood. But notice what happens. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way and that he had spoken to him and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. So Barnabas says, now wait a second, guys. This guy's the real deal. This guy is really a believer, and he's been preaching Jesus Christ boldly. You know, what's the signs of being a real deal? He's been preaching boldly. When he wanted to say he's the real deal, the real thing as a Christian, it's somebody who's proclaiming Christ. Somebody who's telling other people about Jesus Christ. And then they accepted him, and he was with them, coming in and going out at Jerusalem. And he spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus. No, what's he doing again? Doing the same thing, speaking boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputing against the Grecians. Who were the Grecians again? Do you remember? It's been quite a few weeks back, but who were the Grecians? they were Greek-speaking, they call them Hellenistic Jews. Their culture was Greek culture, not Jewish culture. But they lived in Jerusalem. They're the same group that probably were responsible for Stephen's stoning. And now Saul is going to the same group and preaching Jesus to them. But they went about to slay him. Again, there's opposition to his ministry. Again, he's just doing what God has told him to do. He's being obedient to his calling, in a sense. We'll get to that more later. But so they're going to slay him, which when the brethren knew, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him forth to Tarsus. So Saul leaves. And realistically, these years, there's a gap of time here where you don't hear anything from Saul anymore. It's probably up to 7-ish to 10 years where Saul's silent. You kind of don't get that from reading through, but there's quite a few years here now where you don't hear anything about Saul. He kind of goes off the scene. And what happens? Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified, walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost, were multiplied. There's no longer a big persecutor. Saul was the main driving force behind that persecution. Once Saul is taken out of that role, the churches again have rest. And in a sense, Saul is not preaching and all this. He may have been preaching somewhere, but we don't hear about it. I'm sure he was preaching somewhere. But there was rest because Paul wasn't in Jerusalem anymore, stirring things up there. Not that he was wrong, but he wasn't there anymore. And the churches have rest now. And they're multiplied. God gives this season of blessing. You know, there's seasons in life and there's seasons in ministry. And there's times when there's maybe persecution and there's times when there's trials and there's times when there's hardships. And then there's times where God gives rest and growth and he multiplies the church. We just need to be faithful no matter what time we're in, no matter what place God has put us in. Let me ask you a question today. What needs have you been putting first? Your physical needs or your spiritual needs in your life? What has been first? And if it's physical needs, what steps are you going to take to start making spiritual needs, giving them a higher priority? If you just say, yes, I've been putting I've just been putting the physical needs, I've been giving them too much. You have to make some solid steps to say, I'm going to do something to make the spiritual more important in my life. For many of you, that's just reading your Bible at all. Or spending more than 10 minutes in your Bible. Some of you, it's, I'm gonna pray more. If you're using your Bible, if you are reading your Bible, maybe it's meditating more. Maybe it's praying more. See, because I don't think there's anybody here that can say, I'm doing enough spiritually. All of us can take steps. I can take steps. You can take steps to lessen the physical things and raise the spiritual. All of us can do that. What steps will you take this week to heighten those spiritual things? Lord, pray that you would guide us and direct us this week. I pray that, Lord, some would make decisions to do what's right, that some would make decisions to follow you and to start paying more attention to their spiritual needs. Lord, I know that we get really busy with the physical. And there's many things that we need to do. our lives become choked with those. I ask that you would help us to put more emphasis on knowing you, more emphasis on knowing your word, more emphasis on prayer and meditation. I ask for your help. I ask for those who are thinking right now, I need to do that. I ask that they would make a commitment. I ask they would make a commitment to doing those things, to maybe more Bible reading, maybe more meditation. Before we sing our invitation song, and with every head bowed and eyes closed, if there's someone here that's saying, Pastor, I don't know what it is. I don't know what it might be. I'm still trying to work that out, but I'm going to try and commit this week to spending more time on my spiritual needs. If there's somebody here today that would say, just by an upraised hand, Pastor, pray for me. I'm not going to call you out, but just, Pastor, pray for me. I want to do that. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else say, Pastor, just pray for me. I want to spend more time on those spiritual needs. Thank you. Lord, I pray for these folks. We all need your help. Lord, I pray for each and every person in here. Even those who didn't raise their hand, they need to spend more time. Lord, I need to spend more time thinking about the things, meditating on your word and in prayer. Lord, I need that. And I know, I don't know each one and their need, but you do. And I ask that you would help them to make a commitment this week. Help them to trust you and to dive in. Lord, I know the blessings will be there for those who choose that. And I pray that you would guide and direct our congregation. Thank you for the people here today, Lord. Thank you for their willingness to come out. I know, Lord, in some ways I'm preaching to the choir, but we all need to be more faithful in some area of our lives. And I pray that you'd help us to do those things. In Jesus' name, amen.